So along about 1977, Oral Roberts claims to have had a vision of Jesus to build the City of Faith Medical and Research Center. And in 1980, he said he had a vision which encouraged him to continue the construction of a City of Faith Medical building, which opened in 1981. When you or WK, Mr. Warren, got wind of this, I suppose in 1977 or 76,
yeah,
what was the feeling then at that time?
We thought that at that time we had plenty of hospital beds. The notion that people were going to come from far and wide for ordinary care, which is what he was proposing. He was proposing obstetrics, and it didn't make sense. You know, nobody's going to travel 200 miles to have their appendix out unless you have a very high-class medical staff. And basically what he was doing at that time were bringing in missionaries from out in the world, out in the field, to man his hospital. Well, that's not exactly cutting-edge medicine. It was our view that the premise was faulty, that you can't build a medical school that didn't have high-class medical staff, and you can't build a hospital that doesn't have high-class medical staff. And we saw very little effort. The original people he brought in, Jim Winslow, who was a good orthopod, got enamored with Oral and was trying to recruit people. Well, we saw the people he was recruiting. Most of them just didn't measure up. You know, I have a lot of national contacts because I've been involved in a lot of the American College of Surgeons programs, particularly their trauma program. And he just had no names as far as we were concerned. I talked to Jim Winslow about it, and I said, we're going to have to oppose it if you don't look at your quality of your program, because you can pray over people all you want. I've been in practice a long time, and people may ask me if I'm a Christian, but that's not the first question. The first thing they want to know about me is I'm a good surgeon. So prayer's not going to make up for that. Jim Harvey at Hillcrest and myself were appointed by the Tulsa County Hospital as spokesman. After the few times we came out publicly against this thing, Jim was kind of told by his board that he could no longer continue doing this. He was representing a hospital, not a personal point of view. Mine was a personal point of view. I didn't represent St. Francis, although they adopted it pretty quick.
But Jim Harvey, in essence, was representing...
He was representing Hillcrest. And I think that they got a lot of flack because they're the only Protestant hospital. And here's St. John's and St. Francis. So he got a lot of flack and kind of had to bow out. So I got sort of stuck being the major spokesman. It was a pretty hot topic for a while. 60 Minutes called. They stuck me on 60 Minutes. My telephone stayed hot. One of the things you find out in a religious context is that there are just as many crazy people on your side as there are on the other side. Because I had crazies that would call me from North Carolina or Virginia or California saying, oh, you're the one that's against that devil. And every time I turn on the program and Evelyn is on it, my ovaries shrink. That was one call I got, I remember. By the time you listen to that a little while, you think, man, don't ever let me in the middle of a religious controversy again.
He did build the hospital, but then he was having difficulty raising money to continue for, I believe, the research center and all. In 1980, he made the announcement that he would build, and he said, a 900-foot Jesus talked to him about building the hospital. He sent out a letter which said in part that Roberts encountered Jesus at 7 o'clock in the evening as Robert stood in front of the City of Faith. And he said, quote, when I opened my eyes, there he stood, some 900 feet tall, looking at me. His eyes, oh, his eyes, he stood a full 300 feet taller than the 600-foot-tall City of Faith.
As I recall, his first letter that he wrote said that Jesus lifted the City of Faith. We did the calculations on the 900-footer. I think that came later from somebody in our group, and I don't remember who, but at any rate, that matters not. It was such a phony.
You openly opposed the project. You sent copies of the letter that I just quoted from here to the media.
Yeah.
local media or national media too? Or?
No, I originally wrote a letter to the Tulsa World opposing it, and basically I said that Oral Roberts had had a great dream. I didn't oppose his dream, but it's not our dream, and it should not be the city of Tulsa's dream. And I gave, I thought, some pretty cogent reasons why you couldn't just build a place based on religion and this type of thing. So I wrote a letter, and they turned it into an op-ed. Then when he continued, I copied his letter and sent it to all the ministers in town. And I said, I would think that when you read this type of letter, that I would hear thundering from the pulpit about this type of charade. And that leaked to the media, I guess from some ministers. And that's when I got calls from the Chamber of Commerce, who were very upset, because they thought that what he was doing was wonderful for the city. And I wrote them a letter and said, if you think this is good for the city, you ought to hear the calls I get from outside who think this is stupid.
State again, why did you feel it was not good for the city?
I didn't think it was good for the city because I thought it was a quality issue. That if we were going to compete between each other based on quality, then why would you bring in some place that's basically a faith thing? The original chief of surgery that they got, I knew. I can't say he was a charlatan, that's the wrong word. But he was a guy that was not up to the snuff of half the surgeons we have here in town. Their original, one of the specialty guys, was an old broken-down missionary running a program. I also knew him. He wanted a national hospital. You have to recruit doctors with national skills.
Not unlike the Mayo.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to build a great institution that has international and national stuff. And the other thing, to be blunt, before his hospital even opened, I got a patient in the emergency room at St. Francis who ridden a bus from New York to come to Oral Roberts, and she took a taxi from the bus station out to Oral Roberts. It wasn't open, but she found somebody there, and they shipped it to the ER at St. Francis with a gangrenous leg. Oh, I said, you know, there's something wrong with this, that you're going to be attracting people riding buses. His is a ministry, but it certainly wasn't a medical mecca, let's put it that way.
It was a quality issue, but then wasn't it that you believed that Tulsa had enough hospital beds the way it was?
Yes, and I thought it was a charade, frankly.
So the decision went to this three-person Oklahoma Health Planning Commission for a final decision, April 26th of 1978. And by the way, both houses of the state legislature passed resolutions urging that commission to approve Roberts' application.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there when that vote was taken?
Nope. There's a guy named Jack Boyd that ran the planning. I knew Jack. When they passed it, I talked to him on the phone. He said, we had about 100,000 letters, or some number, it may not have been 100,000, sent to the planning commission.
Oral and had asked people to write and call.
Right. He said, our phones are hot. And he said, I think maybe five doctors wrote and said, don't do it or something. It was pretty bad. And he said, there was nothing else politically that we could do. We told him it would fail, and it did, of course.
The commission voted 3-0 to approve the project.
Absolutely.
And the commission was composed of two doctors and Lloyd Rader, the director of the Department of Human Services. And then the other two were the commissioner of health and the director of the Department of Mental Health. Certificate of need was granted. In an interview I did with Oral Roberts and can be heard on this website, Oral talked about Lloyd Rader, how Rader had become a friend to him through the controversy, and how Rader brought Roberts to the other two members of the committee to tell his story. In effect, Roberts was able to lobby the voters, and then they all voted in favor.
Rader was probably the most politically savvy guy in the state of Oklahoma. He ran an empire in the welfare system and per capita got more federal dollars than any state in the union. He was able to maneuver the welfare matching. So Rader probably could make and break governors and was a very powerful man. Whether he was good or not, I have no clue, but he sure brought a lot of welfare federal dollars in and very powerful. None of the bureaucracy could match Rader at all. Our deal was that we were predicting the demise of his medical school. I will tell you, they would never, never have become fully accredited. Religious medical schools are pretty tough because you get involved a little more into science than you do religion, and their quality issues become pretty big. That one was doomed to failure, as was his hospital. We thought we were prescient in many ways and trying to point that out to them, but they just brushed it aside.
For some reason, Lloyd Rader took a liking to Oral Roberts.
He was a likable guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw him when I took care of one of his kids or two. And his nephew.
From a medical standpoint, you took care of him.
Yeah, from a nephew and his brother. Oral, I always thought he was affable. He had his views. I'm sure he wasn't a friendly guy when you didn't agree with him. But
through all of this, did you have any conversation with him at all?
I offered to debate him at any time and left messages, and he left me a message back through one of his minions that he would do his through prayer. I could do mine any way I wanted. They kept sending Jim Winslow. I said, Jim, send Oral. I want him to defend himself. I want him to defend his thesis that he's going to be able to have a successful medical school. I was really more opposed to the medical school than the hospital, frankly. But he couldn't have one without the other. And the medical school was a travesty.
And then, as you've alluded to earlier, of course, the whole idea failed.
Yes, miserably.
Did it fail because he could not attract the kind of quality you felt he should have? And being an outsider to your profession, I guess you had the interest of all patients at heart, that if he is producing a hospital or a medical school that does not maintain the quality the rest of the hospitals do, then patients suffer. Otherwise, somebody could say, if he wants to go off and do that on his own, so what? It has nothing to do with us.
But it besmirches your whole profession to some extent, and particularly if you get off into medical education. As I say, the quality of his staff was certainly suspect. And, you know, if you're going to have a medical school, you've got to have some class people. They don't always have to be Nobel Prize winners, but you have to have some class acts. Jim Winslow left, and I respected Jim. I liked him. They got another guy named Charles McCall to be the dean. Charlie came from LSU, and I didn't know him there, but I knew of him. Highly respected guy. Charlie ran afoul of the powers that be out there and literally left in the middle of the night, which bespeaks some of the other things that we've talked about.
Because of
bad
the
actors that they had out there.
Because of the standards he ran afoul, or is it
No, I think he got his family out. I don't know. There were so many veiled threats of people that fought and dealt with that group. I never would have quibbled about him running a liberal arts school. It's fine. There are probably people that should send their kids to places like that. I don't know. But when you get off into the professional arena, whether it be law, whether it be medicine, of course, he had a law school, too. And it was inevitable they're going to flunk. When Charlie McCall called me and said, I wish you wouldn't talk about this, but I'm leaving. Don't say anything because I want to get out of town before this breaks. And I took that to mean that he felt under some threat or other. I don't know.
Because he was either diametrically opposed or something. Philosophy changed there, apparently.
I don't know. Those days are long gone. But it was certainly a hot issue at the time. And I'm very pleased that we fought it, frankly. Because I think to have allowed that to happen without at least predicting it was going to fall down, I think we as a community would have been on the wrong side.
W.K., Mr. Warren, didn't particularly care for Oral Roberts.
No. I don't know why.
And it just so happens that you didn't take up the gauntlet for W.K. Warren. It was the fact, from a medical standpoint, professional standpoint, you could have been anywhere in Tulsa, at St. John, or any place, and you would have opposed this.
I would have opposed it no matter when he started, or whether I was at St. Francis or not. Now, would I have had a platform? I don't know, to be honest with you.
St. Francis gave you that platform.
The Tulsa Hospital Council did. But I was high enough up the pecking order at St. Francis. I guess they thought that it carried more weight. I don't know.